painted hair. Lou. White wine and honey, followed by a mixture of celandine roots, olive madder, oil of cumin seed, box shavings, and a sprinkle of saffron. Madame Labelle carefully arranged the bottles on the rock we'd fashioned into a table. If applied and left to alchemize for a full sun cycle, it will transform your locks to gold. I stared at the many bottles aghast. We don't have a full sun cycle. Her eyes cut to mine. Yes, obviously, but with the raw ingredients, perhaps we could speed the process. As one, we glanced across the camp to Reed, who sulked by himself, sharpening his Belisarda and refusing to speak to anyone. No. I shook my head, pushing the bottles aside. The entire purpose of this futile exercise was to disguise myself without magic. After what had happened with Reed at the pool, well, we needn't poke the bear without reason. Were there no wigs? Madame Labelle scoffed, reaching into her bag once more. As inconceivable as it sounds, Louise, there were no costume shops in the small farming village of Saint-Loire. She slammed another jar on the rock. Inside it, things wriggled. Might I interest you instead in a jar of pickled leeches? If allowed to bake into your hair on a sunny day, I'm told they yield a rich raven color. Leeches? Coco and I exchanged horrified glances. That is disgusting, she said flatly. Agreed. How about this as an alternative? Madame Labelle fished two more bottles from her bag, throwing one to both Coco and me, or rather at Coco and me. I managed to catch mine before it broke my nose. The paste of lead oxide and slaked lime will dye your hair black as night, but be warned, the clerk informed me the side effects can be quite unpleasant. They couldn't have been more unpleasant than her smile. Beau paused in rummaging through Coco's rucksack.
Side effects?
Death, mostly. Nothing to fret about. Madame Labelle shrugged, unamused, and sarcasm dripped from her words. I didn't quite appreciate it. Far safer than using magic, I'm sure. Eyes narrowing, I knelt to inspect the contents of her rucksack myself. It's just a precaution, all right? I'm trying to be nice. Reed and magic aren't exactly amicable at the moment.
Have they ever been?
Ansel murmured. Fair point. Can you blame him? I pulled bottles out at random, examining their labels before tossing them aside. Madame Labelle must have bought the entire apothecary. He's used magic twice, and both times people have ended up dead. He just needs time to reconcile everything. He'll make peace with himself. Will he? Coco arched a dubious brow, casting him another long look. I mean, the Madagot showed for a reason. The Madagot in question lounged within the lower boughs of a fir, peering out at us with yellow eyes. Madame Labelle snatched her rucksack from me. In a single, agitated motion, she swept the bottles inside. We don't know the Madagot is here because of Reed. My son is hardly the only troubled one in this camp. Her blue eyes flashed to mine, and she shoved a piece of ribbon in my hand. Thicker than what I'd once worn, but still, the black satin would barely cover my new scar. Twice now your mother has attempted to murder you. For all we know, Absalon could be here because of you. Me? I snorted in disbelief, lifting my hair for Coco to tie the ribbon around my throat. Don't be stupid, I'm fine. You're mad if you think ribbon and hair dye will hide you from Morgane. Not from Morgane. She could already be here now, watching us. I flipped my middle finger over my head just in case. But ribbon and hair dye might hide me from anyone who sees those wretched wanted posters. Might even hide me from the chasseurs. Finished with the bow, Coco tapped my arm, and I let my hair fall, thick and heavy, down my back. I could hear the smirk in her voice. Those posters are an uncanny likeness. The care with which the artist drew your scar. I snorted despite myself, turning to face her. It looked like another appendage, a rather large one, a rather phallic one. When we burst into a fit of cackles, Madame Labelle huffed impatiently. Muttering something about children, she stalked off to join Reed. Good riddance. Coco and I laughed anew.
Though Ansel tried to play along with us, his smile seemed somewhat pained. A suspicion confirmed when he said, "Do you think we'll be safe in Lavoisin's camp?" Coco's response came instantly. "Yes."
"What about the others?"
Laughter fading, she glanced at Beau, who'd surreptitiously started digging through her pack once more. She knocked his hand away, but said nothing.
"I don't like it,"
Ansel continued, bouncing his foot, growing more and more agitated.
"If Madame Lebel's magic couldn't hide us here, it won't hide them on the road."
He turned his pleading gaze to me.
"You said Morgane threatened to cut out Reed's heart. After we separate, she could take him, force you back to the chateau."
Reed had said as much an hour ago, or rather, shouted it. As it turned out, he was much less keen on his gather allies to confront Morgane at the Archbishop's funeral plan when it meant we'd have to separate. But we needed the Blood Witches for this insane plan to work, and Lavoisin had made it clear Reed wasn't welcome in her camp. Though small in number, their reputations were formidable, fearsome enough that Morgane had denied their annual petitions to rejoin us in the chateau. I hoped it'd be enough for them to consider moving against her. Lavoisin was willing to listen, at least. Absalon had returned almost instantaneously with her consent. If we came without Reed, she'd allow us to enter her camp. It wasn't much, but it was a start. At midnight, Coco, Ansel, and I would meet her outside Saint-Loire, and she would escort us to the blood camp. In her presence, we'd be relatively safe. But the others...
I don't know.
When I shrugged helplessly, Coco's lips pressed tight.
We can only hope Hélène's magic is enough. They'll have Coco's blood as well. And if worst comes to worst, Reed has his Belisarda. He can defend himself.
It's not enough, Coco murmured.
I know.
There was nothing else to say. If Reed, Madame Lebel, and Beau managed to survive the chasseurs, Dame Blanche, cutthroats, and bandits of La Rivière des Dents, the only road through the forest, named as such for the teeth of the dead it collected, the danger would increase tenfold when they reached Packland. It was hard to say who the werewolves loathed more, huntsmen, witches, or princes. Still, Reed knew those lands better than anyone in our company. He knew Blaze better than anyone in our company. I could only hope Madame Lebel's and Beau's diplomacy would serve them well. From what I'd heard of Blaze, which admittedly wasn't much, he ruled with a fair hand. Perhaps he'd surprise us all. Either way, we didn't have time to visit both peoples together. Tonight, we'd reconnoiter at a local pub to learn the exact date of the Archbishop's funeral. With luck, we'd be able to reunite in Caesarine before the services to approach King Auguste together. Madame Lebel maintained he could be swayed into a third alliance. We'd find out, for better or for worse, when we visited his castle. Like Ansel, I didn't like it. I didn't like any of it. There was still too much to do, too much of the puzzle missing, too little time. We'd piece together the rest at the pub tonight, but before we could do that,
aha!
Triumphant, Beau pulled two bottles from Coco's bag. She'd packed a motley assortment of ingredients to aid in her blood magic, some recognizable, such as herbs and spices, and some not, such as the gray powder and clear liquid Beau currently held aloft.
Wood ash and vinegar, he explained.
When we stared at him blankly, he heaved an impatient sigh.
For your hair? You still want to dye it the old-fashioned way, correct?
Oh. Of their own volition, my hands shot up, covering my hair as if to protect it.
Yes, yes, of course.
Coco clutched my shoulder for moral support, shooting daggers at Beau with her eyes.
You're sure you know what you're doing?
I've helped many a paramour dye their hair, Cosette. Indeed, before you, there was a buxom blonde by the name of Yvonne.
He leaned closer, winking.
She wasn't naturally blonde, of course, but her other natural assets more than made up for it.
When Coco's gaze flattened and her fingers tightened painfully on my shoulder, Beau smirked.
Whatever is wrong, Machette, you aren't jealous.
You,
I patted her hand, wincing. I'll dismember him for you after we've finished.
Slowly?
Piece by piece. With a satisfied nod, she strode after Madame Lebel, leaving me alone with Ansel and Beau. Awkwardness loomed between us, but I cut through it, literally, with an anxious swipe of my hand. You do actually know what you're doing, right? Beau ran his fingers through the length of my hair. Without Coco to goad him, he seemed to wilt, eyeing the bottles of wood ash and vinegar warily.
Never once did I claim to know what I'm doing.
My stomach rose.
But you said— What I said is that I helped a paramour dye her hair, but that was only to piss off Cosette. What I actually did was watch a paramour dye her hair while feeding her strawberries, naked.
If you fuck this up, I will skin you alive and wear your hide as a cape. He arched a brow, lifting the bottles to examine their labels.
Noted.
Honestly, if a naked paramour didn't start feeding me strawberries soon, I'd burn the world down. After pouring equal parts of ash and vinegar into Coco's mortar, he poked at it hopefully for several seconds, and an ominous gray sludge formed. Ansel eyed it in alarm.
How would you do it, though, if you magicked it a different color instead?
Sweat broke out along my palms as Beau parted my hair into sections.
That depends.
I cast about for a pattern, and sure enough, several tendrils of gold rose to meet me. Touching one, I watched it curl up my arm like a snake.
I'd be changing something about myself on the outside. I could change something on the inside to match, or, depending on the end color, I could take the hue, depth, or tone of my current shade and manipulate it somehow. Maybe transfer the brown to my eyes instead.
Ansel's gaze shifted to Reed.
Don't do that. I think Reed likes your eyes.
As if afraid he'd offended me somehow, he hastily added,
And I do too. They're pretty.
I chuckled, and the tension knotting my stomach eased a bit.
Thanks, Ansel.
Beau leaned over my shoulder to look at me.
Are you ready?
Nodding, I closed my eyes as he painted the first strand and kept my focus on Ansel.
Why are you so interested?
No reason,
he said quickly.
Ansel?
I peeked an eye open to glare at him.
Out with it.
He wouldn't look at me, instead nudging a pine cone with his toe. Several seconds passed, then several seconds more. I'd just opened my mouth to prod him along when he said,
I don't remember much of my mother.
My mouth closed with a snap. Behind me, Beau's hands stilled on my hair.
She and my father died in a fire when I was three. Sometimes I think...
His eyes darted to Beau, who quickly resumed smearing the gray paste on my hair. Relieved, Ansel continued his dance with the pinecone.
Sometimes I think I can remember her laugh, or maybe his smile. I know it's stupid.
He laughed in a self-deprecating way that I loathed.
I don't even know their names. I was too frightened of Father Thomas to ask. He did once tell me Maman was an obedient, God-fearing woman, but for all I know, she could have been a witch.
He hesitated, swallowing hard, and finally met my eyes.
Just like Reed's mother. Just like you.
My chest tightened at the hopefulness in his expression. Somehow I knew what he was implying. I knew where this conversation was headed, and I knew what he wanted me to say. What he wanted, no, needed to hear. I hated disappointing him. When I said nothing, his expression fell, but he continued determinedly.
If that's the case, maybe I have magic too. It's possible. Ansel,
I took his hand, deliberating. If he'd lived with his mother and father until he was three, it was highly unlikely the woman had been a Dame Blanche. True, she could have lived outside the chateau. Many Dame Blanche did. But even they rarely kept their sons, who were considered burdens, unable to inherit their mother's magic or enhance their family's lineage. Unbidden, my eyes cut to Reed. He wet his Belisarda on a stone with short, angry strokes.
How very wrong we'd been. It's possible, Ansel repeated, lifting his chin in an uncharacteristic display of stubbornness. You said the Blood Witches keep their sons. The Blood Witches don't live in Caesarine. They live with their covens. Coco doesn't. Coco is an exception. Maybe I am too. Where's this coming from, Ansel? I want to learn how to fight, Lou. I want to learn magic. You can teach me both. I'm hardly the person to- We're headed into danger, aren't we?
He didn't pause for me to confirm the obvious answer.
You and Coco have lived on the streets. You're both survivors. You're both strong. Reed has his training and his Balisarda. Madame LaBelle has her magic. And even Beau was quick-witted enough to distract the other witches on Modranit.
The man in question scoffed.
Thanks.
Ansel ignored him, shoulders slumping.
But I was worthless in that fight, just like I'll be worthless in the blood camp.
I frowned at him.
Don't talk about yourself like that. Why not? It's true.
No, it isn't. I squeezed his hand and leaned forward. I understand that you might think you need to earn a place amongst us, but you don't. You already have one. If your mother was a witch, fine. But if she wasn't... He slipped his hand from mine, and I sighed, longing to cut out my own tongue. Perhaps then I wouldn't need to eat my words so often.
You aren't worthless, Ansel. Never think you're worthless. I'm sick and tired of everyone needing to protect me. I'd like to protect myself for a change, or even...
When my frown deepened, he sighed and dropped his face into his hands, grinding his palms into his eyes.
I just want to contribute to the group. I don't want to be the bumbling idiot anymore. Is that so much to ask? I don't want to be a liability.
Who said you're a bumbling idiot?
Lou!
He peered up at me, eyes lined with red, pleading.
Help me, please.
I stared at him. The men in my life really needed to stop using that word on me. Disasters always followed. The thought of changing a single thing about Ansel, of hardening him, of teaching him to fight, to kill, made my heart twist. But if he felt uncomfortable in his skin, if I could help ease that discomfort in any way, I could train him in physical combat. Surely no harm and no bitter disappointment would come from teaching him to defend himself with a blade. As for lessons in magic, we could simply postpone them indefinitely. He'd never need to feel inferior in that regard.
Of course I'll help you, I finally said. If that's really what you want.
A smile broke across his face and the sun dimmed in comparison.
It is. Thank you, Lou.
This'll be good,
Beau muttered. I elbowed him, eager to change the subject.
How's it looking?
He lifted a gummy strand and wrinkled his nose.
Hard to tell. I imagine the longer we let it sit, the stronger the color will be.
How long did Yvonne let it sit?
The hell if I know.
A half hour later, after Beau had finished coating each strand, Ansel left us to join Coco. With a dramatic sigh, Beau dropped to the ground across from me, heedless of his velvet pants, and watched him go.
I was perfectly content to loathe the little mouth breather.
He's not a mouth-
But of course he's an orphan with no self-worth,
Beau continued, unfettered.
Someone should burn that tower to the ground, preferably with the huntsman inside it.
A peculiar warmth started at my neck.
I don't know. At least the Chassels gave him some semblance of a family, a home. As someone who's lived without both,
I can confidently say a kid like Ansel wouldn't have survived long without them.
Are my ears deceiving me, or are you actually commending the Chassels?
Of course I'm not. I stopped short, startled at the truth of his accusation, and shook my head incredulously.
Hag's teeth. I have to stop hanging out with Ansel. He's a terrible influence.
Beau snorted.
Hag's teeth?
You know. I shrugged, the uncomfortable warmth at my neck radiating across the rest of my scalp, growing hotter by the second.
The hag's eye teeth?
When he looked on, bemused, I explained,
a woman gains her wisdom when she loses her teeth.
He laughed out loud at that, but it didn't seem remotely funny to me now, not when my scalp was on fire. I tugged at a strand of hair, wincing at the sharp pain that followed. This wasn't normal, was it? Something had to be wrong.
Beau, get some water!
The word ended in a strangled cry as the strand of hair came away in my hand.
No!
I stared at it, horrified,
No, no, no!
Reed was at my side in an instant.
What is it? What's...
Shrieking, I hurled the gooey clump of hair at Beau's face.
You idiot! Look what you've... What have you done?
He pawed the slime from his face, eyes wide and alarmed, and scrambled backward as I advanced.
I told you I didn't know what I was doing.
Coco appeared between us with a flask of water. Without a word, she dumped it over my head, dousing me from head to toe, washing away the gray goop. I spluttered, cursing violently, and nearly drowned all over again when Ansel stepped forward to repeat the offense.
Don't!
I snarled when Madame Lavelle joined the group, her own flask poised for action. Or I'll light you on fire! She rolled her eyes and snapped her fingers, and with a puff of hot air, the water on my body evaporated. Reed flinched.
Such melodramatics, she said. This is completely fixable.
But she stopped abruptly as I lifted a strand of too brittle hair. We all stared at it together, realizing the worst in a heavy beat of silence. My hair wasn't blonde. It wasn't red or black or even the brassy color in between. It was white. The strand broke off, crumbling in my fingers.
We can fix this,
Madame Lavelle insisted, lifting a hand.
All will be as before. Don't!
The tears in my eyes burned hotter than even my scalp.
No one else is going to lay a fucking finger on my hair!
If I dyed it with another round of chemicals, the remaining strands would likely catch on fire. And if I used magic, I risked even graver consequences. The pattern required to change my hair from this would be unpleasant. Not because of the color, because of what the color represented, who it represented. On anyone else, white, moonbeam hair could have been beautiful, but on me. Chin quivering, nose in the air, I turned to Reed and slid a knife from his bandolier. I wanted to rage at him, to fling my damaged hair in his anxious face. But this wasn't his fault, not truly. I was the one who'd trusted fucking Beau over magic, the one who'd thought to shield Reed from it. What a stupid notion. Reed was a witch. There would be no shielding him from magic, not now and certainly not ever again. Though he watched me apprehensively, Reed didn't follow as I stalked across the hollow. Hot tears, irrational tears, embarrassed tears gathered in my eyes. I wiped them away angrily. Part of me knew I was overreacting, knew it was just hair.
That part could piss right off. Snip, snip, snip.
My hair fluttered to the ground like strands of spider silk, pale and foreign, delicate as gossamer. A strand floated to my boot as if teasing me, and I swore I heard my mother's laugh. Jittery energy coursed through me as we waited for the sun to set. We couldn't enter Saint-Loire for our reconnaissance until the sun went down. There was little reason to sneak into the pub if no villagers would be there. No villagers meant no gossip. No gossip meant no information. And no information meant we still knew nothing about the world outside the hollow. I pushed abruptly to my feet, stalking toward Ansel. He'd said he wanted to train, and I still had Reed's knife from earlier. I flipped it from hand to hand, anything to keep me from reaching up again to tug at my hair. The shorn ends just brushed the tops of my shoulders. I'd thrown the rest of it into the fire. Ansel sat with the others around the dying embers. Their conversation stalled as I neared them, and I had little trouble guessing what they'd been discussing, who they'd been discussing. Fantastic. Reed, who'd been leaning against the nearest tree, approached cautiously. He'd been waiting for me, I realized, waiting for permission to engage. I cracked a smile.
How are you feeling?
He planted a kiss on top of my head, lingering on the white strands. For now, it seemed my tantrum trumped his own.
Better?
I think my scalp is still bleeding, but otherwise, yes.
You're beautiful.
You're a liar.
I'm serious.
I'm plotting to shave everyone's head tonight. His lips twitched, and he looked suddenly sheepish.
I grew out my hair when I was 14. Alexandre has long hair, you know, and...
La vie éphémère, I finished, envisioning Reed with long, luscious locks that blew in the wind. I snorted despite myself. Are you telling me you were a teenage heartthrob? One side of his mouth quirked up.
So what if I was?
So it's a pity we didn't meet as teenagers.
You're still a teenager.
I lifted my knife, and I'm still pissed. When he laughed in my face, I asked, why did you cut it?
Long hair is a liability in the training yard.
He rubbed a rueful hand over his head.
Jean-Luc got hold of it in a sparring session and nearly made my scalp bleed.
He pulled your hair? At my gasp, he nodded grimly and I scowled. That little bitch.
I cut it afterward. I haven't worn it long since. Now...
His hands landed on his hips, his eyes glinting.
Do I need to confiscate the knife?
I tossed it in the air, catching it by the blade before sending it upward once more.
You can certainly try.
Quick as a flash, without breaking my gaze, he snatched the knife from above my head, holding it there out of reach. His eyes burned into mine, and a slow, arrogant grin touched his lips.
You were saying?
Suppressing a delicious shiver, which he still felt, given his rumble of laughter, I spun and elbowed him in the gut. With an oof, he bent double, his chest falling hard against my back, and I pried the knife from his fingers. Craning my neck, I planted a kiss on his jaw. That was cute. His arms came around my chest, trapping me, locking me in his embrace.
Cute,
he repeated ominously. Still bowed, our bodies fit together like a glove.
Cute.
Without warning, he lifted me into the air, and I shrieked, kicking my feet and gasping with laughter. He only released me after Beau sighed loudly, turned to Madame Lebel, and asked if we could depart ahead of schedule to spare his eardrums.
Will I need them in Les Dents, do you think? Or can I go without?
Feet on the ground once more, I tried to ignore him, tried to keep playing, tried to poke Reed in the ribs. But his smile wasn't quite as wide now. The tension returned to his jaw. The moment had passed. Someday I wouldn't need to hoard Reed's smiles, and someday he wouldn't need to ration them. Today was not that day. Straightening my shirt, I extended the knife to Ansel.
Shall we get started?
His eyes widened.
What, now?
Why not? I shrugged, plucking another knife from Reed's bandolier. He remained wooden.
We have a few hours until sundown. You do still want to train, don't you?
Ansel nearly tripped in his haste to stand.
Yes, I do, but...
Those brown eyes flicked first to Coco and Beau, then to Reed. Madame Lebel paused in dealing the former their cards. Instead of couronnes, they'd used rocks and sticks as bids. Pink colored Ansel's cheeks.
Should we not do it here?
Beau didn't look up from his cards. Indeed, he stared at them a bit too fixedly to be natural.
Don't presume we care what you're doing, Ansel.
Following Beau's lead, Coco offered Ansel a reassuring smile before she too returned to their game. Even Reed took the hint, squeezing my hand briefly before joining them without a word. No one turned in our direction again. An hour later, however, they couldn't help but watch covertly.
Stop! Stop! You're flailing and you're focusing too much on your upper body anyway. You aren't Reed.
I ducked beneath Ansel's outstretched arm, disarming him before he could sever a limb, likely his own.
Your feet are for more than just footwork. Use them. Every strike should utilize both your upper and lower body strength.
His shoulders drooped in misery.
I lifted his chin with the tip of his sword. None of that, mon petit chou. Again.
Readjusting his form once more, twice more, 100 times more, we parried through the greater part of the afternoon and into the evening. Though he showed little improvement, I didn't have the heart to end his lesson, even as the shadows around us deepened. When the sun touched the pines, he finally managed to knock my blade away out of sheer determination, and nick his own arm in the process. His blood flecked the snow.
That was... you did... horrible...
He finished bitterly, throwing his sword to the ground to examine his wound. Face still flushed, only partly from exertion, he shot a quick look in the other's direction. They all hastened to appear busy, gathering the makeshift plates they'd used for dinner. At Ansel's request, we'd trained right through it. My stomach grumbled irritably.
I was horrible.
Sighing, I sheathed my knife in my boot. Let me see your arm.
He shook his sleeve down with a scowl.
It's fine. Ansel, I said it's fine.
At his uncharacteristically sharp tone, I paused.
Do you not want to do this again?
His face softened and he dropped his head.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have snapped at you. I wanted this to go differently.
The admission was quiet. This time he looked to his own hands instead of the others. I gripped one of them firmly.
This was your first attempt. You'll get better. It wasn't.
Reluctantly, he met my gaze. I hated that reluctance, that shame. I hated it.
I trained with the chasseurs. They made sure I knew how terrible I was.
Anger washed through me, hot and consuming. As much as they'd given him, they'd taken even more.
The chasseurs can eat a bag of dicks. It's fine, Lou.
He pulled his hand away to retrieve his fallen knife, but paused halfway down, gifting me a smile. Though weary, that smile was also hopeful, undeniably and unapologetically so. I stared at him, struck momentarily speechless. Though often naive and occasionally petulant, he'd remained so pure.
Some days I couldn't believe he was real. Nothing worth having is easy, right?
Nothing worth having is easy.
Right.
Heart lodged in my throat, I glanced instinctively at Reed's back across camp. As if sensing me, he stilled, and our eyes met over his shoulder. I looked away hastily, looping my arm through Ansel's and squeezing tight, ignoring the cold fist of dread in my chest.
Come on, Ansel. Let's end this wretched day with a drink.